When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's show, Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website, www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will listen and watch, and that will bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And as I said just a moment ago, it is the second Sunday of the month, and that means it's a Martha and Robin Sunday, gifted Mount Shasta mystic. Robin Alexis is here. And just so you all know, I mean, we typically do not take phone calls on Robin and Martha Sundays. We tune into different animal situations and stories around the world to see what the animals have to say and what lessons we need to learn and if there's energy we need to send and that sort of thing. Today we are also going to make time to honor feast day of St. Francis, which of course was October 4th, and we sort of celebrated all month. And Robin will be channeling a special blessing from St. Francis today on the show. I mean, how honored do we feel about that? It's very cool. And I also got told, I don't know if I've ever told you this story on the air before or not. I certainly haven't done it recently if I ever have shared it, but St. Francis is kind of like oversees my work with the animals and assists me with the work that I do with the animals. And I don't talk about it much, but this has been going on for a good 20 years. And there's a real woo-woo story involved as to how this all started. So that was part of the other message in the shower that I got from St. Francis on October 4th was tell everybody our story. It's okay to do that. Tell our story, and then, you know, I'll channel the blessing. So I'm going to tell you the story. Not right this moment, but I'm going to today. So there you go. All righty then. All right, we did the recall stuff. We did the follow-up and the new one. Okay. This is the first animals in the news story. Now, Robin, I just found this last night. It touched my heart, and I got an immediate message to cover this today on the show and to alert Christine, who is, listener and Soul Spa member at robinalexis.com, and she is the one that's created the one wonderful Facebook page where you can go and post about your animal friends or situations about animals for people to send special blessings and healings and that sort of thing. So this one needs to go up. And I don't know, I found it last night. You all may have seen it, depending on what part of the country you're in and all of this, but it's out of Warren, Texas. So you've probably heard stories about people who love their pets so much, the animals truly become part of the family. But what happens when that four-legged family member disappears? How far do you go to bring him home? One Texas man says he's willing to sell his house to raise money for a reward if someone will bring his beloved Labrador Retriever back. Now, if you didn't know any better, you'd think that was a normal day for Charlie Parker. He's retired and lives in Warren, Texas, but something is missing in his life. Quote, we lost him from this premise that on September 15th, and I've been looking for him every day since. Now, there are videos on the internet that you can watch, and you can see Charlie Parker explaining this and see his chocolate lab, Sir. And it looks like they live in a rural area, of Texas, have a farm with pasture land and a horse. And it sounds to me like the lab, Sir, was just hanging out on the property, and Charlie went out to mow the pasture and mow the grass. And when he came back, Sir was missing. And he says, quote, "I beat myself up every day. You know, if I would have done this or I would have done that, I just didn't have any idea that I was just going to pull up here and lose him." He says it's much more than the loss of a pet. Quote, "Me and my wife have never had any children, and I guess that dog is maybe a replacement for a child." He says his horse can never replace the dog. For 5 years, he was never more than a few steps behind Parker. Quote, "He'd come back, you know, muddy. We'd clean him up, fix supper, and then, hey, let's go to bed." And we all got into bed together. Now, what he's done, since he hasn't been able to find the dog, he's put up a $50,000 reward. But in order to pay that reward, he's had to put his home and property on the market. He's actually selling his house and property so he can pay this reward. And he says it's so important to him, the only thing he won't give up to get Sir back is his wife and his horse. But he'll give up anything. And he's on this video saying, "If I never go hunting another day in my life, I never go fishing, if I can't do anything, I just want my dog back." I don't know if his dog is available to come back. And Robin, what are you getting?
I feel like the dog is alive, actually.
Oh, thank goodness. I kind of get the same feeling, which is why I think I was directed to do this on the air and to have Christine post it. Anyway, it's Charlie Parker. It's his chocolate lab, Sir. They're in Warren, Texas. So how about we all say a prayer and send the angels to help Sir find his way back to Charlie and his wife. And if it's through a person, let them be big enough to say they don't need the reward. Let them keep their home. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, and I do feel St. Francis coming in, and he's starting to speak through me. He's talking about the animal lover's heart. It's so big for people in this country. And this is a surrogate healing for people who have pets who love them, whether they are deceased or they're alive or they're going to be reincarnating. That whole energy, as we say this prayer, there's like an open, raw wound. You know, so many people are abusive to their animals in times of crisis, but America has become even more loving towards their pets. And so it's a very vulnerable spot for individuals in this country, that if someone wanted to do harm to us, they could hit the animal lover's heart. And so Robin was speaking at the beginning of the show about the delicate lodge of people's energies. And this is a place where we as individuals and as a nation could be hit. And it's important for us, as we say this prayer on behalf of this dog, that we understand that there's a bigger story going on here. It began when the people who do not like our country witnessed how outraged the Americans were, how Mitt Romney had put his dog on the roof of their station wagon many years ago. That dog in particular is satisfied with how it experienced being loved in that lifetime. But the national outcry about how that animal was treated has alerted those who do not care for your country of the vulnerability of the animal lover's heart. Not only I, St. Francis, speak through Robin on this day, but the other masters who are here with me, we awaken all of you to heal and bless and purify your animal lover's heart. It is for that reason that the frog came to Martha and laid in her hand and appeared to be dead. And as she spoke those words of the prayer that brought that little frog back to its life, it is important for you. There you go. I see through Robin that there are many of you who are heeding this advice and seeing the logic of how distorted those who do not like this country could use this particular vehicle to harm you. When you speak about the animals on Halloween being injured, this is a time of great innocence for the children of this country. It is one of the rare moments when you put your guard down and you play behind your masks. It is important for you to maintain your innocence, but also to be on guard and to do what you need to do to hug your animals, to hug one another, and to stay strong and true. It is 2012, and there will be many, many clever ways that those who do not care for what America stands for, they will come and they will find the openings. This is an opening. I do not bring this information to you through Robin in fear. I bring it to you that as Robin speaks to you and Martha Norwalk speaks to you and those who are involved with Martha's show speak to you about your love for the animals, that you see that that very love, that very innocence, that very place where no matter what goes on in your world, you are still open to the beauty of life through the innocence and the expression of love through your pets. It is time for you to heed. Thank you. I am stepping out of Robin's field now.
Oh. Well, apparently St. Francis has a lot more to say to us today through Robin than just the prayer. I hope you all felt that. It was so powerful here in the studio. The light was so dense in the studio. My eyes are just tearing. I couldn't even see through the light in the studio. Thank you, Master. Thank you, St. Francis. Well, more of that to come. Whoa.
Mm. Yes, I'm seeing an owl now presenting into my third eye, and the owl medicine is discernment. So it's important for us to use discernment about whatever it is that we're doing. And if we feel a little OCD right now, where we might want to take a little extra step to kind of button down a hatch or something, it's better to, you know, just be that little extra nurturing, you know, be a little extra protective, and if you get a little noogling, just go ahead and act on it. It's like this man who's so upset, you know, perhaps there had been some kind of little inkling that, you know, he didn't hear because he was so used to everything being safe that it never even crossed his mind that someone would do this.
Yeah, and stay quiet. Spend time being quiet. Listen. And when you get those little thoughts, remember everything comes from somewhere. And if you get a little tweak about don't leave the dog outside today, or don't take the dog with you, or do this or do that, listen. Listen. Do not dismiss it. Because like Robin said, there might have been a tweak related to that. And oh, my heart smiled so much when St. Francis was speaking and talking about how the mass consciousness in this country has opened up, and that our hearts and how much we love the animals, and how that is just becoming so evident these days. You guys, you're going to love it, and I love it. The winner of the best good news about animals today is a story that exemplifies that point. I just love spirit and synchronicity. I can't wait to get to that. So let's get on. I didn't put this in the good news because of the message it seems to be sending, but six orcas, excuse me, at times more than a dozen orcas have been spotted swimming past West Seattle this week, and six of the identified whales from photos represent all three of our pods. So what this means is all three J, K, and L pods were all together this week, cruising past West Seattle, and apparently this is the farthest south the orcas have been seen this year, and it may indicate a typical fall shift. So for those of you that aren't eager to get into fall and winter, I didn't put this in good news. I mean, it's good news to see the orcas, but the fact that they're, you know, cruising more farther south That's kind of our message. Weather's changing. And but how cool is that to see enough whales that they could identify to know that all three of the pods are together? But see, all three pods that far south, summer's over, you guys. You okay? Oh, now this is interesting, and this has certainly got to have some spiritual significance, Robin. If you want to get this whole story, it's out of the Everett Herald, www.heraldnet.com. I think it's not called the Everett Herald anymore. It's just the Herald. But an article in yesterday's paper, Eagle Feather Ruling. Well, I have always, you know, I know that it is illegal for us normal, you know, regular folks to have possession of eagle feathers or body parts. And you may have remembered that even when, you know, when we'd have Sarvey Wildlife Care Center on the air, when Jeff would come in with Freedom the Eagle, you know, when Kay, the founder of Sarvey, was here, she would always explain that they can't even keep the feathers, and that when they get an eagle in for rescue and it dies, they can't keep the feathers. They have to give them to the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and they go in a repository, and then they're given to native tribes, because the only ones that can legally have eagle parts and feathers, I mean, they can't go kill the eagles, but they can collect them and take them off the ground, and they can have them from rescues, are Native Americans and Indian, you know, Indian tribes. Well, I thought that was already, that was the way it was. But according to this article in the paper, that was only kind of like the way it was done. It is technically illegal for everybody. So just this week, that they're finally now a new Justice Department policy that tribal members will not be prosecuted for wearing or carrying federally protected birds, bird feathers, or parts. They also may pick up feathers found in the wild as long as they do not disturb federally protected birds or nests. Giving, lending, or trading feathers or bird parts among tribe members without any other compensation will also be allowed. But they can't sell it. And there's a photograph of a Native American doing a dance, and his outfit has eagle feathers all over it. And apparently Native Americans were getting a little nervous that at some point somebody might crack down on them and they'd get in trouble for, even though this is kind of, so apparently the Justice Department just cleaned up its act and made it official, which, you know, that's cool. I don't have a problem with that. But if you do find an eagle feather on the ground, consider it a gift and don't tell anybody. What? Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Christine, I think we need to put this up as well. And St. Francis Masters. Yeah, I don't know. This is also out of the Herald. Elimination of wolf pack took a toll. You want to www.heraldnet.com if you want to hear the whole story. Remember, I've been reporting on this. I've been telling you my heart doesn't feel good about this, and that I don't see a resolution to this. But, you know, we've been letting wolves integrate back into our state. I think we have 8 official packs of wolves in the state. But the Department of Fish and Wildlife has this policy that if they start messing with livestock too much, then they'll kill the wolves. Well, there's this wedge pack in eastern Washington, up towards the Canadian border. It's called the Wedge Pack. It's in Kettle Falls in northeastern Washington. They were starting to kill cattle. They killed 2 of the younger members of the pack last year, sometime thinking maybe that would stop it. But they say the whole pack was participating now, and that they had killed between 40 and 50 head of cattle on the Diamond M Ranch, and that they were going to kill them. Well, they have. It's been done. And it was apparently a horrendous process. Was very, very expensive. They ended up having to go, which they told us they were going to do, probably. They went to a helicopter to kill them all. And so the whole pack, including the alpha male, has been wiped out. Now, apparently, this is somewhat of an unusual situation in this it's mountainous and the terrain is different. And they say in this article that it's more difficult for them to keep cattle and wolves separate. But these wolves had apparently changed their behavior, and instead of hunting wildlife for food, they were now, you know, primarily targeting cattle, and that's why they had to go. They say they're hoping that they won't ever have to do this again, but I don't know, Robin, if you've got anything or St. Francis has anything to say about this, but I just don't see this all working. I don't feel good about it. I mean, my heart breaks that they all had to be killed. But, you know, I somehow in my limited vision, and maybe the Masters or St. Francis can help us understand this, I can't see a resolution that makes everybody happy here.
Well, what I'm receiving is that the wolves are, they have not gone into the light. There's like some pocket of energy that they're in.
That's what I was thinking, that maybe we need to do something to help them. Or is there something we can do?
Well, so far I'm observing them. The alpha male appears to be pacing in the imagery that I have, and the others are just sort of resting. It's like he's trying to figure, okay, he's turning now and he's looking at me, and there's such pain in his eyes. And he's saying that, yeah, he says that what was he to do? You know, he was looking out for his pack, and they were doing what they needed to do to survive. And he's questioning, in a sense, it looks like he's questioning his role, his decision-making. It's like his whole instinctive nature. It's like he doesn't quite trust into it. And he's just showing me, you know, how is a wild animal supposed to discern between what a human is going to call their property and what is just their food source? And so, it's like he's realizing the depth of this concern.
Yeah, I was wondering, is there any way that we can communicate to, you know, the overriding diva of wolves and wolves in general, that to stay away from cattle? You know, mooses and what did they say in this article? All deer, moose, elk. Here we go. And they have switched from preying on deer, elk, and moose, and instead focus on cattle. So, you know, I mean, rabbits, rodents, deer, elk, moose, all of the wild animals are fine for them to go after. And, of course, we appreciate them doing what they're good at, which is taking the older, the infirm, the ones that need to be called out, and only taking what they need to eat. But certainly there's got to be a way for them to discern the difference between domesticated cattle and wildlife. Is there any way we can communicate that?
Well, I felt that I witnessed St. Francis go to this wolf pack. And my sense was that what I received back for information is that this is a situation of like oil and water. It just doesn't mix.
Yeah, that's what I keep getting.
And that, no, it just doesn't feel like this is going to resolve nicely.
Now, I believe in my heart, and I feel what my message from Spirit tells me. And there are those that are not going to like this at all. But I believe the resolution to this is that we humans need to stop eating red meat and cows and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, those that's how they make their living are simply going to have to evolve out of that and find other ways to do that. But I, at least according to Master Yogananda, he says we should not be eating cows or pigs for that matter. And he says if we have to eat meat, stay with fowl or fish as long as they're, you know, the fish are okay to eat. But All right, we are. I'm looking at the clock. I think this is time we need to time out for a minute, and Robin, maybe see if you get anything more about this. But in the meantime, we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Please listen, pay attention, support them, thank them. No, without them, there's no us. And Animal World continues straight ahead with Robin Alexis right here on Alternative Talk and St. Francis Alternative Talk AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. Call them if you need directions. 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoing happy and healthy pets.
Call into Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for your free on-air readings. Robin uses her ability as a karma specialist, medical intuitive, and metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She's a medium who can talk to your spirit guides and angels. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Conscious living for conscious people. Alternative Talk 1150.
For the next few moments, KKNW will be performing a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. The preceding tones were a test of the emergency alert system. In the event of an actual emergency, information and directions would follow. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
The new mainstream of talk radio. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. And what a special Sunday did you pick to be with us. It's Robin and Martha Sunday, gifted Mount Shasta mystic. Robin Alexis is here, and we're just getting into all this good animal stuff. And we were talking about the wolves in Washington and the pack that had been killed. And by the way, I was just thinking, because I was talking about Jones & Company and the break, and if you missed the remote last week, it was great, and I think we're going to make it an annual, it's an annual deal for us to do this Jones & Company remote, but now that Dr. Nails is part of the Animal World family, it looks like we're going to make it an annual thing that he will come with us to Jones & Company for this remote next year to do healings on animals. How cool is that? All right, Robin, have you recovered from the wolves, and is there anything more we need to say about that before we move on?
Well, what I'm seeing is a lot more relief energetically around the wolves. There's a lot more light there. My sense was that some of your listeners were sending prayers and love to them. And so that particular pack is beginning to get some energetic relief, and I trust that they will move into the light or the new earth or whatever is their next highest vibration.
Yeah, and we assume that Christine is listening, and she'll put it up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, somebody did something, because there's definitely better energy around that situation for them in particular. The bigger issue, we're getting the word out. People can make decisions day by day what they want to eat. It's what we choose to eat that's going to change the market and then ultimately save the wolves.
Yeah, that's the bottom line for what I'm getting from Spirit, as much as many may not want to hear that. It's just what we're getting. Don't shoot the messenger. All right, now here's another interesting story. I just want you to confirm this or not, Robin. I found this on the internet. So you may have seen the video of this. This was the headline here is Lioness Befriends Baby Antelope After Killing Its Mother in Uganda.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's a video of a lioness with a baby antelope. And explanation being that baby antelope, like our baby deer around here, don't have scent when they're very young, and their flight mechanism instinct does not kick in when they're young, because they're taught to lay in the grass and stay, you know, quiet in one place while mom goes off to eat or graze, and stay there until mom comes back and gets them. So that's the explanation for why the baby antelope didn't try to run and escape the lion. But in this video, you see the lion kind of nuzzling the baby antelope and being really loving and gentle, and then at the end it picks it up by the scruff and carries it off like it's one of its cubs. And so the whole story was all about friendship, and it says this species friendship may be rare, but it's not entirely unheard of. In 2002, a Kenyan lioness named Kamuniak, meaning the blessed one, adopted at least 5 baby antelopes throughout the year. And so it goes on to talk about, you know, if these species can get along and be friends and all that kind of stuff, then why can't we? And, you know, all that sort of thing. Well, then the next day, another story. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, or the day before, another story circulated as a follow-up to this. The experts saying this is all baloney. That the lion didn't kill the baby right away, because they'd already killed and were eating the mother. They didn't need it at that point. And that, even look at our domestic cats. Remember the story I told you about my Abbeys and the little baby frogs? And unless they're ready to kill and then eat, they can be very gentle and playful with their prey for a while. And so the experts are saying this lion, and these lions aren't adopting these babies. They're just playing, you know, like they would, and being gentle and playful with them, and haul them off and then eat them later. So, I'm thinking, now I have to say that for me, the second explanation makes more logical sense. But I thought, I'll read this and see what Robin gets.
Well, I agree it makes more logical sense, but I'm also getting that there's some sort of soul familiarity. It feels like on an energetic plane, this may be a little whisper of, I don't know if I'd call it reincarnation, but it's almost like they can... there's a relationship that's beyond just being alive or being dead. It feels like it transcends that there's some sort of working mechanism of serving each other back and forth. It's kind of like humans.
Well, yeah, you know? And that's something that's come through from Spirit before, and I'm flashing back on, if y'all remember T. Martino, who is the gal that runs the rescue horse and raptor rescue on Vashon Island. And she's the author of The Wolf, the Woman, and the Wilderness, her story of raising a wolf cub and returning it to the wild and then going back a year later after she released it and not being able to find it in the wild, but then going to sleep at night as she was camping in the area and waking up in the morning to the wolf being curled up next to her. Oh, God. Fabulous, fabulous story. If you haven't read that, www.newsagepress.com. Anyway, T tells a story about when she was very, very young. And she was out in the wilderness where she shouldn't have been. And she had a Native American background. And she was stalked by a cougar. And she knew enough at her very young age to turn around and look at the cougar and say, "I'm not a volunteer." And the cougar said, "Well, okay, I'll leave you alone." And that brought her to the discussion of there is a higher self to higher self communication between wildlife and their prey, and there is an agreement on that level. And that animals
my whole body's vibrating with that.
Animals give themselves up to be prey as others, as in the rituals of Native Americans before they go hunting for whales or any other wildlife. They do a ritual. They pray. They ask for volunteers, and then they hunt what comes to them. So there is a relationship. So who knows, the mother and the baby may have been a volunteer for the lion. And then, but we wouldn't really know for absolute sure unless these people out there telling these stories and taking the pictures, if they stay out there long enough to follow around and see what happens. And that hasn't happened. They're assuming. So I don't know. Anyway, does that kind of resonate, Robin?
Oh, deeply. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Now here's another little one. Rabbit versus the sea. The disappearance of nearly half of South Florida rabbit species habitat due to rising sea levels illustrates the mounting dangers of climate change, according to researchers. The Lower Keys marsh rabbit was once abundant along the chain of islands between Miami and Key West. But area photos from 1958 to 2006 show that 48% of its habitat have been lost due to sea level rise. Only a few hundred of the species survive on a few of the keys. And, quote, "We kind of look at the sea level rise as this problem that's just starting. But we're showing here it's that it's already a problem." So it sounds like, you know, it's certainly just an indication of what's going on. It's only a matter of time until this particular rabbit species is wiped out. And I know that spirit told me a number of years ago that this was going to happen on the planet, you know, as the climate changes and so forth. And I've been told spiritually that it's heating up before we go into another ice age, you know, and life will continue in the earth, but it does evolve and change with the changes of the earth, and that we will be losing species on the planet, whether we do anything about it or not, and that it's not a bad thing. They just go into other dimensions and so forth. But I don't know if you get anything about that, Robin.
Yeah, I'm also had felt before I came on the air that part of the reason why the masters in St. Francis are with us today is because they are, again, kind of giving us some insight that you just spoke about, that these things, we need to start paying more attention and not go into fear, but just be aware, be honestly aware about what's going on. I mean, we are living on a planet that we could technically say is in emergency. And again, it's just that awareness. Then I also got a message from the wolf and the whole cattle industry thing that I'm actually questioning, but I heard it, so I'll let you discern and decipher it. What I heard is that when we're at the supermarket and we're standing in front of the meat counter, or we're you know, in front of wherever we're going to buy meat, to ask if there's some meat that's volunteering to be what we consume, so that we're showing respect for that energy. And that just seemed way out there to me, but I did see that in my mind's eye, so I'm sharing it.
Well, I suppose it's possible that some of the factory farm animals or so forth are volunteers. Well, they all are to come up. They animals, I mean, spirits told me, the animals tell me, they come up on the earth plane to be food for humans. So but and some probably more than others, but that the masters told me when I moved out to my farm, you know, 20 years ago, or a little more than that now, they told me one thing I could choose to do there was to start raising animals for food and to teach people how to do it properly. That it was that they do, you know, you would call in souls that are volunteers, but you have to raise them with love. You have to kill them with love. We have to stop the factory farming and all of that, because how they're treated, how they are loved as they're raised, as they are killed, makes a big difference as to how healthy their bodies are and their meat is for us to eat. Well, at the time, and I still say in this lifetime, you know, I'm sorry, I couldn't go there. I can't. I could raise them with love, but I just I opted out of that option. But I understand it completely, and it's more in line with how Native Americans have done things, and that the lessons that we have to learn. But certainly that makes sense. Ask for a volunteer. But I know I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not one of those either. But I'm not a vegetarian. Although now that I work with Yogananda, I am making more of an effort to move into that category. I always believed that I couldn't be because of my protein needs and my allergy to soy. But I'm finding that I am able to eat less and less and less, and I'm doing my very best to go with his advice and not eat cows and pigs, and to stay only with fowl and fish for as long as fish are okay. But I'm being told that's only a matter of time anyway. But and I'm doing okay, you know. So I'm adjusting to all of this.
And I think St. Francis is coming in stronger and saying that's the point. We all need to start where we are, acknowledging this deeper kind of symbiosis or homeostasis mm-hmm. of energy. And we all know that everything is energy, and it's the energy behind our decisions that determines the outcome. So are we, you know, having the energy be a strong mindfulness of creating love and balance and harmony? And again, if where we are in life, we're not growing our own cattle and loving it and then killing it and eating it, I suppose we do need to start in the grocery store. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's even if we're eating vegetables, it doesn't matter. It's like all of it.
It's all living, a soul vibration, and we need to, yes. to be just as respectful and loving. Like I remember my first spiritual teacher, and this is going to be really quick, Mike, so we can stay on schedule. That we all came back to class after Halloween. And this was probably 20 years ago. And someone in the store, in the our little chat before we got into our new lesson in meditation and stuff, was talking about how they went out and smashed pumpkins. Well, holy moly, the masters came right through, said, "Did you ever consider the pumpkins?" Oh, I've never squished any fruit since. And I've been respectful and saying, I talk to everything that'll talk to me, whether they talk to me or not. I talk to them. So anyway, but just, you know, think about that. Just because they don't make noise and have an obvious heartbeat, there's life. There is soul vibration there. Have you ever hugged a tree? You ever talked to, oh gosh, I love my trees. Love my trees. They are so happy. Did I tell you they're doing a happy dance in the rain? Woohoo. Okay. All right. We are going to take a temporary time out here and take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. We're going to come back then, and it's time for the best good news about animals and then our follow-up animal stories. I'm going to do our best to get through as much of that as we can in the rest of this hour so we can get to St. Francis and everything in, you know, my story and the blessing and all of that. Gosh, isn't this... Y'all feeling, this is like Animal World Church today, huh? Ooh, love it, love it, love it. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
I'm Gary Manns.
I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
We're a nice, normal couple doing paranormal talk radio.
If you're interested in ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, astrology, angels, or the afterlife.
In other words, if you're like us, wired for weird,
tune in to the experts who join the A-Team of Alternative Talk every week.
That's Manson Mitchell, Friday mornings at 10 and Saturdays at 11 on Alternative Talk 1150 KKNW.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, flower essences, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 206-463-1425. That's 206-463-1425. Or check them out on Facebook.
What does a dog have to do? I've been telepathically telling my owner that one of Rob and Alexis's very special gifts is she's an animal communicator. But my owner just won't hear me. I hope Robin hears my thoughts. She will tell people about it. I know that Robin will tell owners that she can talk to animals, whether they're deceased or alive. Robin is an animal communicator. She can talk to horses and dogs and cats, birds, snakes, you name it. She would love to help us out. I hope my owner makes an appointment for an animal communication session with Robin Alexis. How about Robin Alexis's half-hour special for $125? My owner, you gotta hear this. I could talk to you if you just book an appointment with Robin Alexis. Call 530-859-2499. That's 530-859-2499. Or go right on Robin's website, robinalexis.com, and schedule your appointment. Owner, I want to talk to you. Book an appointment with Robin Alexis. She's an animal communicator.
It's not often you find a mortgage lender who shares your passion for animals and public service. Margaret Peggy Kaler, Senior Loan Officer at Cornerstone Home Lending Incorporated, believes in animal rescue and has given back to the community in many ways. A charter member of the Rotary Club of Duval, past president of the Duval Chamber of Commerce, and organizer of the Duval Dirty Paws Dog Walk, Peggy shares your values and love of animals. Call Peggy at 206-947-0615. Or visit PeggyKaler.com for your next mortgage. It's a smart move. NMLS number 393352 and WA-CL number 803075.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Radio for your body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and oh boy, we're on the downside of the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. But you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Second Sunday of the month, Robin and Martha, gifted Mount Shasta mystic, Robin Alexis is here, along with St. Francis and the great masters of self-realization. I should probably tell you who all those are. They're all hanging out in Robin's kitchen, and they're with us here energetically. That would be Master Jesus and Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashai, Swamiji Shri Yukstavar, and my Guruji, Paramhansa Yogananda. And St. Francis, of course, would be heading the pack today because he's the one that's speaking through Robin. So, how neat is it to have everybody present? Okay. And speaking of that, that is certainly good news. And as far as the animals go, it is time for the best good news about animals. Ooh. Looking over my shoulder out the window. Ooh. Oh, it would if it was out there. It's not. Remember those 80 days, folks. And as the sun, you were sitting in the sun when I was talking to you yesterday or a little while. You got sun in Mount Shasta, Robin?
We do. It's beautiful here.
All right. Robin's got the sunshine. We may have some come back at some point. All right. The first thing in the good news, and I chuckled when you talked about an owls coming in earlier, because I thought there were some here. Just if you love beautiful wildlife photography, go to www.heraldnet.com/local. It was from Monday, October 8th. There's a beautiful photograph of a little young goslick at Narbeck Wetland Sanctuary in South Everett. And then, the rest of the photos from this week. There are two, I don't know who the person got this. It's a pair of young great horned owls photographed by Paul Lischeld in April at Deer Lagoon on Whidbey Island in April. And then there's a picture of a pair of eagles at Crockett Lake at Cooper Ferry on Whidbey Island. But look at when Robin was talking about the owls coming in, look at those owls. Are those spectacular or what? Holy moly.
Looks like a telephoto lens shot for sure.
Well, yeah, and it looks like it must have been in the day. You know, I didn't know. They're usually sleeping during the day. So
yeah, sometimes
they're
out.
I don't know how he got this spectacular photograph, but they must have wanted to be photographed.
Maybe. Whew. Maybe they were volunteering.
I like that.
Oh, okay. Now, here's another good news story. Now, this was actually, I remember reporting on this story long time ago. But you remember the story of the crow and the kitten? And there's video online about these people that saw a feral stray kitten in their yard, and then a crow was with it, protecting it, and feeding bugs and worms to this kitten, and raised this little black kitten.
Wow.
And it's a phenomenal story. You can find the videos on YouTube. But the reason I put it in good news right now is that a woman watched these. Children's book author Lisa Fleming, she put the story into a book called The Cat and Crow, An Amazing Friendship. It's the tale of two natural enemies who become best friends, and it's a true story. So I just thought you might, it's a kid's book, but I bet all of us would love it. But it's called The Crow and the Kitten. Or The Cat and Crow, An Amazing Friendship. And if you Google that, you know, search it online, the videos will come up. And you can actually see the video that this couple, now the couple ended up adopting the cat, and the cat ended up moving into the house with them, but the crow would come every morning and tap on the window, the door, until they let the cat out to play. And watching this crow feed the kitten, and eventually the kitten learned to eat cat food, but feeding the cat, and the cat was like 6 months old or so when it showed up in their yard, and they adopted it, but the crow had been keeping it alive, feeding it worms and bugs. I mean, a very, very cool story.
What was the author's name?
Lisa Fleming, and it's spelled Fleming. I don't know, and I assume that's correct, but Cat and Crow, An Amazing Friendship, Lisa Fleming.
Thanks.
But, you got to see, if you haven't ever seen the video, well worth doing. Okay, now here is the winner of the best good news about animals. Remember St. Francis's message? Well, it had me chuckling inside my heart. This was actually given to me by my clients who are now friends that I visited with yesterday, and it's out of the Wall Street Journal, Wednesday, October 10th. And the title of the article is Dogs Get Their Due. Apartment owners add canine amenities to lure tenants. Now, I remember years ago in downtown Seattle, I was hired by an apartment complex down there to help them better accommodate dogs. And we put in a, because, you know, in concrete Seattle, there's no place to potty. And we put in a dog run in the parking garage with shavings and stuff and so forth. But anyway, it says this article is all about what's going on at this point. And all over the country, rental apartment complexes throughout the country are replacing no pets signs with dog parks and washing stations as they look for new ways to attract and retain tenants. While national statistics on no pets policies aren't available, landlords and others throughout the industry say complexes are getting pooch friendly these days as they deal with changing demographics and increasing competition from new construction. An architect who designs apartments for several of the nation's real estate investment trusts says 75% of the new communities he designs include dog parks, up from 15% 3 years ago and zero a decade ago. The average size, 1,500 square feet, has more than doubled in the past 3 years. A Houston-based company is adding dog parks with washing stations in most new development and updating older communities with the features. Quote, it's become a real marketing thing and a point of differentiation. If a property doesn't have it, it's sort of old school.
Wow. Mm.
Embracing pets is a big change from the past, when owners considered animals property-destroying nuisances whose constant barking can annoy residents. As a result, they changed steep deposits and monthly fees for tenants with pets and or prohibited them completely. But increasingly, landlords say they now allow and even encourage pets in order to attract younger renters who are tending to marry later and who to stay longer these days, especially if their complexes allow pets. Now, it also says in this article that most places, you know, if they did allow dogs, they were restricting it to, you know, under 10 pound, you know, very small dogs, mm-hmm. that those restrictions are now going away. They're allowing all size dogs. So how cool is that? It really has changed. So how do you like that, Robin?
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, we've talked about human to animal transference and some of the behavior of some of the animals. I think those ideas are wonderful, but I'm also wondering if they have like dog behavior clinics.
Well, now, you know, I was just going to say my experience, because see, I was hired by this apartment complex downtown prior to 10 years ago. You know, when nobody was doing any of these things. And they thought it was going to be a way. We put in dog runs in the parking garage with shavings, pooper scoopers, all that kind of stuff. And then I screened every tenant with a dog and did a private session with every tenant to educate them on the rules of taking proper care of their dogs, being a responsible dog owner, would think, and to be a responsible dog neighbor, and then gave them everything they needed to do.
Was that rewarding?
That, no.
Oh.
I just got to tell you, it was not a success. Because the people did not, first of all, they didn't follow the rules. They weren't responsible with their dogs. They didn't clean up after them. The dog a potty area and the parking garage was a disaster because nobody would scoop that. We even put scooper poopers and garbage can and plastic bags and everything in there so they could clean up after their dogs. You think they did?
Boy.
No. And you know what they did? They stole the scooper pooper, the pooper scooper. So we had to chain them to the fence, and they still wouldn't clean up. And they did anyway.
Eventually,
the apartment complex did away with the program and 86 the dogs again.
That's
now, I'm pleased with this article that things are changing, and hopefully now they're saying that the demographics of those